This is The Heat Source, the podcast where we learn everything we can about hot sauce, one bottle at a time. We are your hosts, Mike and Matt, and today we're trying Ooga Booga Pickled Relish Hot Sauce from Apicalypse. Let's heat up! Welcome back to The Heat Source, where we learn about new sauces weekly, one bottle at a time. This week, we're not quite heading to Albuquerque with this one, but we're heading as close as we can with this Santa Fe, New Mexico sauce, Apicalypse, which we've just recently got sent to us, and I'm going to be honest, all three sauces he sent could have been the one that I'm like, ooh, let's try that one. Like, all of them sound good.
Oh, yeah. Very unique.
Very unique. I mean, I'm a fan of pickles.
Yeah.
I feel like you're a fan of pickles.
When you first told me about the brand, I thought it was literally like pickle lips.
Pickle lips.
I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, I get that. Like, your lips get vinegary and a little burning when you eat hot sauce. And then I saw it. I'm like, oh, like Apicalypse. Apicalypse.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also is one where if you try to search this brand and you mistype one thing, everything goes haywire. Yeah. Because it's something where either they think you're doing Apicalypse, or if you try to type in the website, they're like, oh, you typed it just wrong enough for it to go to like this site that's going to trick you. So I went right through Instagram. Their Instagram is their primary kind of update page, which is Apicalypse 505. But also I'm still dealing with a chest thing. So if I lose my breath, it's not because I'm getting emotional. Maybe it is, but it's mostly because I've got this chest cough still. Excuse me. But we're going to get into this sauce. It's a sauce that not only because we... I just saw in the bottle it says for the end of times. So this is, you know, put it in your survival pack. But not only because it was sent to us, but also it's in New Mexico. Fiber Food Show is coming up in a few weeks. And it just looks really good. I think we've done something with, was it pickle or just more like briny sauce? I feel like we've had one other.
I think we had one.
Because we did a pickle fact on one of them.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Haven't done a lot with this flavor profile, so that's really interesting. But we have to get into our game. It's a game that everyone loves. You know, Ryan from Down to Ferment was like, this is my favorite part. You know, some people, Sam says, don't know a thing about basketball, but he joined in the fun. And I don't know. It's just amusing. And also, I learned something.
I think it's just watching me squirm.
I think it's just a learning opportunity. So...
Well, I haven't retained much, so you could probably ask me another NBA player.
Like a duplicate?
You could duplicate something. I'd be like...
I am curious how close to the edge of like, well, he's got to know this one I could get.
Yeah.
Before you get... I get one where you're like, yeah, I know. Like, obviously.
Right.
But I'm going to go with Mel Daniels. Good old Mel Daniels.
Sounds like an old-timey basketball.
Sounds like an old name in general. Yeah. Mel is not.
I'm going to go basketball.
So this is a fun fact on this game.
Did you finally find the basketball player hot sauce crossover?
No. I learned about this person too.
Okay.
Because I was looking for someone that played for New Mexico, the basketball team, because New Mexico sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Daniels is a Hall of Famer. He was a 3-time champion in the ABA before it became the NBA.
Okay.
And he was born in Detroit, Michigan.
Nice.
So
when did the NBA come about? When was it the ABA?
It was in the late 60s.
Okay.
Yeah. It was just a merger where they had ABA and NBA and brought them together. He was part of the Indiana Pacers of the ABA.
Nice.
So.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Got one.
You got it.
Yeah.
You nailed it. There was...
Not many Mels left around nowadays.
No. But Mel Daniels, I mean, could just be an old guy that loves to make hot sauce.
Could be.
I should start messaging these NBA players, be like, do you like hot sauce at least? They're like, yep, that is an NBA player. Hates hot sauce.
Yeah.
Doesn't have the palate for it.
That's funny.
But that is our game. That's our fun game that I enjoy and Mike tolerates. But let's get into this sauce. So we've got Ooga Booga Pickled Relish Hot Sauce. It has like a nice darker consistency. I see a lot of chunks of, I just say flavor in there, but looks really good. Let's get the seal open. This sauce brand will be, according to the website, will be at the Fiery Fujo as well.
Okay.
And
I would hope so. They're darn close to it.
I mean, still, it's a tall order to, you know, pay for the booth and logistics and all that. But ironically, while he's at the show, my parents will be in Santa Fe. So he's leaving Santa Fe. They're going up there.
Yep.
So I might have to pick his brain on best places to go for them on their day trip. Let's try this out. Beautiful.
So I'm assuming you like pickles. I feel like pickles are one of those items where you love them or you hate them. There's not many people who are like, yeah, pickles are all right. It's such a briny, it's kind of like olives. No one's indifferent to olives.
Yeah, because you love olives.
No, I don't.
It's olives and beans. That's your favorite appetizer.
Like one of the few times I've tried olives, I remember just blowing my jaw out on a pit. So it's like, I can tolerate this smash.
I will say I love olives, but pitted olives.
Yeah.
I don't even like, they're like, oh, they're pitted. And I don't go, oh, okay, I'll eat around them. Thanks for the heads up. I go, I'm not dealing with that work.
Yep.
The amount of olive you get too per, we're not going to get into that. We're a positive olive and pickle podcast, I think. Just doesn't eat them. But with pickles, I like all pickles.
So do I.
Now, there is a very clear divide where there are people that are strictly dill. I don't know if there's anyone that's strictly sweet or bread and butter, but I feel like it's either love pickles, love dill, or don't. I don't think there's anyone that
dies
on that hill for sweet.
I feel like my mother-in-law, she seems like someone who'd be hard. Like, I can do sweet pickles, but...
Give me some baby gherkins.
Yeah. I'll do any
butter. I love any type of relish.
Oh, yeah.
That's what the other pickled one was. It was the
Grand
Traverse Sauce Company's DD214.
That's what it was.
They had the pickle one, which was replaced my relish for hot dogs. So this could be that new replacement. But yeah, I think there's a clear divide where you love all pickles, love dill. There's a very small percentage, I think, that's like a sweet only.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I love them all. My dad makes his own relishes now where he'll just keep the pickle juices and just start making like his own pickles. And then he'll make his own like random relishes and he'll throw a little bit of mustard in there, make almost like a, I don't know what they would call it, but just more of a sauce than a relish.
Yeah.
But.
Down to Ferment will appreciate this. I'm fermenting a batch of cabbage right now for sauerkraut.
That's the other thing. I love cabbage. Cabbage and kraut.
Yeah.
I mean, I think any pickling or fermented stuff, if you're Polish, you kind of gotta love it.
Yeah. Once I'm done with the sauerkraut, I'm going to try fermenting pickles and jalapenos.
Give that a smell and tell me what you think.
I think it smells darn good.
Yeah, it smells really good.
Dang.
But you're talking about sauerkraut, and I'm just like, I would mess this up on some kibbas and sauerkraut. Just from the smell. Just from the smell.
Dude,
I got so excited for that.
That smells really good.
No, the sauerkraut and the... I will say this about the Polish food, though. So I love Polish food. And one of the best things about Polish food right now for me, at least while my kids are still young, is I can bring any leftovers from my family's gatherings, and it's all mine from Polish food. Like, maybe some cabbage rolls. Mm-hmm. Maybe Angela would take that because it's like tomato sauce, cabbage, you know, meat and rice.
Yeah.
Not anything jarring, but still not.
Yeah. Do you do the tomato sauce on those?
That's what my dad does. My dad makes them. I only eat them.
Yeah. My parents do, they do kind of like a chicken stock over them instead of the tomato sauce.
Okay. I would also eat that.
Both are really good.
We've also done, we do a sweeter sauerkraut, a little Polish segment here. We do a sweeter sauerkraut where my dad does a bacon and brown sugar sauerkraut. So it's almost, I think people said it's more like a kapusta.
Yeah.
And then we've also done the traditional more vinegar where we just shred up cabbage and actually like cook down the cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have the pre-made sauerkraut. But I will say, little tip, if you get the cans of sauerkraut and you're trying not to have it be so overpowering, he rinses his like thoroughly of all the juice and just has the flavor still massively in that.
Yeah.
The sauerkraut.
Right.
But he does that and then does the bacon and the brown sugar and all that.
Yeah. No, I'm excited to try the batch of sauerkraut that I'm doing right now. It's funny. You just take a head of cabbage, chop it up, add like 3 tablespoons of salt to it, mm-hmm. and you just throw it in your stone crock, and you just let it go.
Yeah.
Within 24 hours, it's just dry salted cabbage.
Yeah.
To under 2 inches of liquid.
Yeah, I've watched.
It's just wild. It's like, where did all that come from?
Brad Leone has a cabbage, a sauerkraut video that he does where he ferments it, and he has one where he does his own mustard, fermented mustard too. And both of those are just interesting to see the chemical reactions that happen in a short period of time.
Yeah. It is a little intimidating to poke your head in there and kind of push on. There's like stone weights you put on top.
Mm-hmm.
Push those and just see all the bubbles get released of all the essentially decomposition happening under there where you're just like, oh, that's a little bit intimidating to actually see that. Like normally in my, you know, humans would see that and be like, stay away from that.
Again, probably it's something where somebody did this and said, I'm committed to do this.
Gonna give it
this
a
is
shot.
What's gonna happen? Yeah. So, all right, let's give this sauce a try because this smells really good.
Interesting. They do their heat scale out of 8. Don't normally see that.
That is a unique
it's usually
one.
Usually 5 or 10.
5 or 10, I've seen.
I've seen 6s.
Or just like a straight up bar that has no defined increments. It's just here's like a.
Whoa. Ooh,
that was a nice little glug there. And nice. Kept it all on the spoon.
All right, ready?
Yep. Really good heat.
Really good heat.
Yeah.
Is that habanero?
So I didn't intentionally look at the ingredients before because I'm trying something out for me specifically. So don't say any ingredient yet. I'm trying to taste it before I read the ingredients.
Man, that's really good.
It's really good.
I really like that a lot.
It does, because of the pickliness of it, because of the almost like fermentedness of it, it does remind me very much of like a sauerkraut. Like a pickly, you know, more pickled sauerkraut. It has a good heat up front, but then it goes away.
Man, that's really good. I really like that one.
I mean, I go to Polish food completely just because that's stuck in my brain. But you could put this on a brat or a hot dog. You could put this on, honestly, even if, you know how some like potato salads or pasta salads put like pickled a little bit of relish or something in there.
Dill or something in there, yeah.
I would just drizzle this a little bit on top or mix it into the mayo.
Yeah.
That would be really good. A spicy potato salad. I'm going to die today. Today is how it ends.
I'll just make sure you edit this one first because I haven't gotten as much exposure to editing as you.
Be like, Angela, I'm so sorry. It's such a sad, sad time. Can you show me his password to get into the editing software? I also need to YouTube how to edit.
He didn't leave anything behind about editing, did he?
Angel's like, he didn't prepare any will. He didn't prepare anything for this, but he gave vivid instructions on how to edit an episode and upload it to the server.
P.S. Love you and the kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Love you and the kids. Listen to this episode. It's a banger. Oh, man. That is fantastic.
So what's your guess on peppers or ingredients?
Is there carrot in there?
There is carrot.
Like part of that is I saw in the chunks, there's a little bit of orange in there.
I think I said habanero. I think that's why I said habanero, because I saw the orange.
Is there the classic like onions, garlic kind of set up in there?
Yep.
Does he put actual dill in there, or is it just...
Dill's the last ingredient.
Okay. I feel like there's going to be some...
Are you going to try to guess all of these?
No. Okay. Just go ahead.
Oh, what's the pepper? Guess the pepper, at least.
I'll guess either habanero or serrano.
Trinidad scorpion.
Really?
Yep.
This is not as hot as I would have thought for Trinidad scorpion.
Yeah.
I don't handle Trinidad scorpion sauces typically well, but I've only had a few. Mm-hmm. That one that you have in the fridge at work is really hot to me.
That sauce... I think it's Angry Goat. So
this is the best. Here's a nice little tag there. The best Trinidad scorpion sauce I've had.
Oh, yeah.
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 Hands down.
This is good. I wouldn't have got Trinidad scorpion, but yeah, those are wicked hot peppers. And this is, I would say this is appropriate for like a solid, to me, a solid medium sauce.
What I really need to research, and we can do that on pod. We can have guests on. We have to figure something out. If Araya or Bobby are listening that, you know, grow peppers and know peppers better. Even the Michigan chili grower, I don't know his name, but I know he was involved in like the Super Hots thing, but wasn't in the show, but was very much involved. Learning not just the flavors of peppers, but learning the heat kind of journey, because there's some that linger, some that grow after, some that punch right up front.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be very curious, because I don't know if I'd be able to identify, unless it's a very clean pepper, vinegar, onion, garlic. I don't know if I'd be able to identify specifically the flavor of the pepper.
I don't think I would have got that one.
But the heat can help you.
Yeah. All right. What did you, what direction did you go for fact on this one?
So I wish I knew that Ooga Booga was the name of it, because I would have totally gone Nightmare Before Christmas.
I've never seen that movie.
Failed opportunity.
I know what it is. I've just never watched
it. And it's Oogie Boogie. Close but enough. One of the most terrifying things, luckily I was old enough to watch it that I didn't like have nightmares forever. That's the only reason I don't show my kids that movie so far.
Really?
It's a stop motion ghost that also, when its seam is ripped, is filled with bugs.
Yeah. I could see that, because I watched Beetlejuice when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuck with me, didn't scare me, but it's something I vividly remember, is just kind of the stickiness, the grossness, the bugginess of Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just something that I remember as a kid. And it just kind of hung on with me. I don't think in like a negative way, but I could definitely see how Jack Skellington kind of just being a lanky, creepy,
yeah,
and then bugs might have an effect on a little kid's imagination.
I mean, even like the stuff that's supposed to be nice, like Santa, is creepy because he's stop motion and he's Tim Burton's vision of Santa. But no, I went with pickles.
So did I.
In what way did you go into pickles?
Pickle accidents.
I didn't go pickle accidents.
I did.
I went with pickle history, important moments in pickle American history.
Okay.
You're familiar with Christopher Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely very popular in the United States nowadays. Everyone celebrates his holiday.
Yep.
Vividly. No one cares about any of the other details. But are you familiar with Amerigo Vespucci?
Vespucci sounds familiar. Another Spanish explorer?
He was on the ship with Christopher Columbus when they journeyed across.
I don't think I'm familiar.
I think my first reaction when I heard it was, I think I saw that character in one of the Assassin's Creed movies or video games. Just because there was a lot of Italian and Spanish.
Yeah.
But when Christopher Columbus set sail, he brought with him Amerigo Vespucci, a man who not only sold pickles in Spain, but also knew the benefits of stocking the ships with enough pickles to help prevent scurvy during the voyage. So Columbus, not only that, but when he stopped in Haiti, they grew cucumbers to bring home for more pickles. Very pickle-focused journey.
So that's how long they stopped. Long enough to plant some crops, restock.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, yeah, it's not an easy, like, okay, we saw this for a little bit, let's pack up and go.
Dudes, so those old days of exploration were absolutely wild on how they did things as far as food. Like,
yeah,
there's some reports, some ships would like swing by the Galapagos and pick up a bunch of tortoises and turn them upside down and put them in the ballast of the ship,
mm-hmm,
because the tortoises could survive for months, and then they would just eat the tortoises. It was just a way to keep fresh food, which was just...
They had to find any way.
Yeah. You don't want the tortoise to escape, so you flip it upside down so it can't go anywhere, and you keep it there for months, which is awful. I hate the thought of that as a hunter and fisherman.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, take care of it.
I mean, hunter and a fisherman, they specifically want to be as painless to the animal to where it's like a quick... If you have a bad shot at an animal, the hunter is devastated. I mean, my buddy Mark, when he had that one that he thought that he injured but did not kill.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm so devastated. And then saw that it was still just up and running. He's like, great.
Gut-wrenching feeling.
Not because it's like, I don't know. It was just, sometimes there's a thought where it's like, oh, like, well, anybody that hunts just wants to like kill animals. It's like, well, no.
Yeah.
Point to it. And there's like an honor to it.
Right.
Hook and arrow. They know what it's about.
Yep. I looked up pickle accidents, and there was... one thing, so I have two things for you. One thing really caught my attention. So you look up how many people have died from pickles. And
just in general?
Just like in general.
Pickle death?
Just curious on that. The overwhelming articles you get is a, it's definitely a spoof of a study.
Okay.
But it's also not wrong in a lot of ways. And I just thought it was really comical. So essentially this whole study is talking about how pickles are 100% fatal. And they, okay, they lay out some facts that are true, but also not entirely true. They're very satire. So full disclaimer on this one, I'm not spewing these as actual facts. I wanted to read you some of the stuff that I came across when researching this.
This section is both facts and lore.
Yeah.
And like
a lot of lore in this, but I will hit you with a, I will follow up with a actual fact that turns into something I found way too funny, funnier than it should have been.
Okay.
So in this article, they talk about pickles being 100% fatal. And they say, for example, nearly all sick people have eaten pickles. The effects are obviously cumulative. 99.9% of all people who die from cancer have eaten pickles. 99.8% of all soldiers have eaten pickles. Meaning pickles lead to war. 96.8% of all communist sympathizers have eaten pickles.
So here's the thing. I've eaten pickles, so now I'm worried about cancer. I've been a soldier, so that checks out. And I didn't know I was a communist sympathizer.
You just wait.
Oh, no.
You're going to see your finish line in life here. Okay. 99.7% of all people involved in air and auto accidents ate pickles within 14 days of preceding the accident. Sorry for laughing at that. That's awful. 93.1% of all juvenile delinquents came from homes where pickles were served frequently. Jesus. This article is all over the internet. It's, if you look up just pickles and death, every other link.
So, are they
this.
An anti-pickle website?
No, I don't okay. know. I don't know the actual source, but a lot of websites have this. And also, there's evidence points to the long-term effects of pickle eating. Of all the people born in 1869 who later dined on pickles, there was a 100% mortality rate.
I take everything good I said about pickles back. Or just accept my fate because I love pickles too much to say no.
All pickle eaters born between 1890 and
don't call them pickle eaters. That's offensive.
All pickle eaters born between 1890 and 1910 have wrinkled skin, have lost their teeth, have brittle bones, and failing eyesight. If the ills of eating pickles have not already caused their death. Even more convincing is the report of a noted team of medical specialists. Rats force-fed with 20 pounds of pickles per day for 30 days developed bulging abdomens. Their appetites for wholesome food was destroyed.
Except for one individual who's been eating pickles and getting stronger and stronger, immune to all things. He's always the outlier. His name is Briny Brian.
Brad.
Just made 100%. He's made 100% of salt.
He'll never decompose.
Everyone thinks. What's the phrase? Someone's all like piss and vinegar.
Yeah,
it's all just salt and vinegar.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all it is.
So that was something that was just overwhelmingly on the internet when you looked that up, and I just thought it was so funny. Where
it's also a good example of, hey, and I get this a lot in sports because I'm a big NBA guy, and NBA everything's statistical and everyone's going to point to stats, especially on players they don't know.
Yeah.
Where numbers and facts and like numbers and statistics are important. But if you only look at numbers and
statistics.
Depends
on how you present a lot of that stuff. It's like, yeah, that's technically true.
Yeah, it is true.
But
true
that's
items.
Not,
yeah.
Not what it actually means. So to round out the serious one. So there was a pickle accident on a Ohio DOT road.
Okay.
A pickle truck flipped. There was another driver involved. There was no serious injuries. But there were so many pickles on the road that the Ohio Department of Transportation had to get out the snow plows to remove all the pickles. And in an official statement from ODOT, I'm going to read this. I saw it coming a million miles away and I still laughed out loud.
Okay.
Pretty hard at it. They said, today on I-75 north of Dayton, crews relished the opportunity to pick up piles of pickle. God, this is hard to read. Hang on. Today on I-75 north of Dayton, crews relish the opportunity to pick up piles and piles of pickles with plows. It was kind of a big deal.
Oh, my God.
I just saw that.
That person that reported that, obviously a father.
That was from the Ohio Department of Transportation.
Obviously, they're like...
They followed it up with, fortunately, no, there were no serious injuries.
Somebody was like, hey, let's update. Let's update about the thing. Carl, can you do that? And then they look at me like, you put in charge with Carl. Dad joke, Carl. Like, damn it, Carl. This is serious. Luckily, no one died, because it would have been crazy if it was like, this is a really funny thing. Look at this headline. Three people dead. What?
Yeah.
So. What? Just looking at the website for Apocalypse, he did mention that he has a few flavors that he's working on for the Fiery Food Show. I'm seeing a lot of good stuff here. Pickled applesauce, mango, garlic, and super hots. Spicy pickle sauce. Obviously, that's not the one we just tried. Cranberry mustard chili. Jalapeno tomatillo cilantro. Garlic sesame habanero is another one that we have. It all just looks incredible.
That all sounds really good.
Yeah. Also, on your statistic thing, did you know that 100% of, well, maybe it's 99.9%, of West Michigan hot sauce reviewers are happy after trying Apocalypse?
Not wrong.
It's crazy. I don't want to just assume we're the only West Michigan hot sauce review podcast. Who knows? Let's get into a few facts about the brand itself, and then we'll get into the score. By the way, just keep eating the sauce. I'm really excited.
Hot dogs.
The heat is the only thing that my dad might not be able. It's right on the edge of his heat tolerance. Mm-hmm. But this is like I taste this and I'm just in a Polish food state of mind. I also taste this and this sounds weird. You know how there's certain smells where it's like, that is a smell that takes me back to like my grandparents' house?
Yeah.
Somehow the smell and flavor of this takes me back to my grandparents' house.
Just your briny grandparents.
Yeah. They're just always cooking, Polish house, always these different smells and picklings and all these things where it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
That sounds really good. Or, I mean, this also would work on just a hamburger, but relish or pickles on a hamburger.
Hot dogs.
Do that.
Yep. Oh, honestly, go get on a burrito. Remember we got the La Cantina burritos and that I ordered the green sauce with it?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a pickled jalapeno with the pickled carrots. I feel like this would be a very viable replacement
that for that. That would, because it does step into that,
yeah,
that realm. I would have said no to putting on tacos or nachos or whatever before, a burrito before, mm-hmm, but because we had that more pickly sauce, this definitely... Yeah. It's in there. I'm trying to think of a way to use this in a way, in a modified way from like breaded, like fried pickles. Because fried pickles is bread and pickle, dip it in ranch.
We could do.
If you put this sauce in ranch.
Put it in ranch or make like an aioli with
it. And then
you
have
it.
Like a chip.
Yeah. Mix it in some mayo. Yeah. That'd be really good.
Oh, man.
That'd be really good.
So many options. But let's get into just a few. So this company's only been around for, you know, for 2 years now. So it's not a whole lot that I have on the history of the brand. Still very new. The founder is David Ahern Sarand. He's a founder. And one of the things that I find interesting and I think is very beneficial, before this, he spent 12 years working at a microbrewery, Santa Fe Brewing.
Okay. I bet that's really helpful as far as like the bottling process.
So craft beer.
Labeling, stuff like that.
Craft beer, dealing with like... You're dealing with elements that it's not as easy as a whip it up and this is done. Like there's time, there's fermentation, there's a period of time that you have to kind of wait and sit on it. He also got from there, he got into more of the, he looked more towards the pickling and fermentation sides of things, mm-hmm, which we have Down to Ferment had a similar path of, they were looking at that more than hot sauce. They do in an article, they do, say that he learned a lot from Brio Brinery, Pat Block from Brio Brinery, which it says that they closed their doors since then. But so he learned a lot from there. He, in his message to us, he said, you know, it's a Santa Fe, Mexico company. He said it's the only hot sauce company currently in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
That's surprising.
I mean, Yes and no.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it's, and also it's something where it's hard to gauge where, I mean, there are sauce makers that are, that we found out are somewhat local and not even aware of it. And we're specifically looking for hot sauce. So it's a yes and no kind of thing where it's surprising, but also there could be someone that's in the works that just hasn't made it official. But that is a nice, you know, claim to fame right now as far as being the Santa Fe hot sauce. He said he's working on 4 new recipes for the Fiery Food Show. He said New Mexico obviously has tons of chilies and salsa, but he thinks there's really not a lot of New Mexico sauce companies.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is, I'm not, you're the more geography guy than me, but I don't feel like New Mexico has like a ton of population. It's, at least there's not a, you know, all kinds of cities. There's wide spanses where there's
nothing.
You know, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Nothing in a good way. You'd love to go to a place that has nothing.
Yeah.
Like just put me by myself and put me in a desert. Dude, or
fell in love with the desert because you can go there and you can just see nothing and no one.
Well, because I think my parents said they were going to fly into Albuquerque and then go to Santa Fe, but it's like close to an hour drive. Mm-hmm. And that's like one of the closer places to go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was a weird thing. Us in West Michigan, you know, we don't have to go more than 15 minutes to get to another little town or small town or something.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, yeah. When you're in the desert, you want to hop over to the next town.
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to pass any cars, most likely, to drive 2 hours. Like when we were in the going from like Joshua Tree to, I think it was Death Valley.
Mm-hmm.
You pass through like two towns in like 3-4 hours or something like that. It's just so desolate.
Alaska, not desert, but Alaska was similar where it's like, here's the 4 towns we're going to hit this trip. Like, oh, are we going to stop on the way? Like, there's nowhere to stop.
Next gas station, 180 miles.
It's also one road.
Yeah.
It's not which way are you going to go, which exit are you going to take. It's like, you just take this road till you get to the town.
Yeah. But yeah, living in Michigan, I picture a hot sauce stand on every corner in every little town in New Mexico. So
I think I'm more
that's
surprised.
That's just my ignorant perception of it.
And I think part of it is, I don't act surprised when they're like, oh, there's not a lot of sauce companies in Michigan, because Midwest Michigan, not a big hot sauce, at least it hasn't been cultivated. The hot sauce community in Michigan hasn't been cultivated as much. There's a lot of, I mean, again, in my family, and you've talked about yours, where it's like, in my family, there's only a few that are willing to try something spicy.
Hot sauce is such not a big deal here that my great aunts and uncles claim that they, I think I told you this before, it's not true. They claim that they brought hot sauce to Michigan because it wasn't like available. They went to Colorado and they're like, oh my God, they have the spicy stuff in Colorado.
Yeah.
They kept writing to, I think it was Pace Picante. I think they kept writing letters to Pace long, long time ago being like, you need this here. And then it just naturally showed up in stores and they're like, we did that.
Yeah.
Which I don't believe it, but it's just funny. It's something that I've heard since I was a kid.
But I think the more surprising thing is New Mexico not having as much is more the culture and what you think of, like as far as cuisine, when you think of New Mexico. You think there'd be things that would lend itself more to heat and more to like a hot sauce?
Mm-hmm.
God, that's good. Dang. Also, there was a note that said that he utilizes the kitchen table in Santa Fe, which is a shared kitchen space for small businesses, to help give small businesses the opportunity to utilize a kitchen without having to a high expense.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
I mean, it's similar to, you know, other bigger cities. People will rent out kitchen space from like restaurants or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But this is designed specifically for that.
Nice.
And I think there's one in Grand Rapids that does that. They have a kitchen, I think, downtown market. But yeah, so that was just a little fun facts about the brand. Like I said, not a super long history. I did see a note that he's a metalhead. I don't know how in-depth that goes. It sounds like he might have been in some type of band.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, but
there's a funny correlation between hot sauce, tattoos, and metal music.
Sauce Leopard, Sam Hastings from Sam Sauce, Roddy from Faya, I think Pickle Monster too.
I feel like, well, I'm a metalhead, but like you wouldn't look at me and be like, oh, I don't look like Sam. You know, I look just like a boring Midwest dude.
You look like the metalheads that went to my high school, where it's like none of them had long, crazy hair, big beards. They're just like, oh, there they go going by, and you hear the music.
Yeah, you hear screaming. I forgot where I was going with that.
Okay.
But I'm just blown away by how good the sauce is.
No, it's a really good sauce.
For how hot, it is pretty hot. For how hot it is, we keep going back and forth on this and making a dent in this
yeah,
bottle.
Yeah, it does have good heat.
I had a 3 for heat.
I put a 2+.
Yeah.
So I think 3 could also work. I think I could have more of this if my chest wasn't exploding. But also, I want to go back to the craft beer thing, because it's something where, and we've told a few people about this, not everybody, but the way that we grade these sauces, we were looking at how they grade beer, wine, bourbon. We were looking at all those scores. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting that we used some of that scoring element for ours, that he's using his history of brewing and beer making. And that's part of the reason why I'm kind of surprised Michigan doesn't have more makers, because mm-hmm. we have a lot of brewers, like big beer state.
Right.
Where it's like, you're interested in the science of that.
Yeah. We have a lot of, I guess, byproducts of all the breweries. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, you know, spent grain, stuff like that. So we do have a lot of people that actually will use old barrels. You know, you see a lot of, you know, Founders barrel aged things. We do have one hot sauce, Bliss, that uses like old,
which I've never tried.
Old Founders barrels. It is really good. Yeah. It is a good hot sauce.
There's gypsum mines in Michigan.
Those are so fun.
Yeah.
I think I told you about my plan to heist the gypsum mines. There's some fossils in there that I want to get in there.
I mean, I'll edit that out, just because we don't want you to get
another $1 million idea.
Yeah.
You just might get caught.
I am
surprised that.
I take that back. I won't edit it out, because when it goes to trial, they'll be like, the break in the case for the prosecution was the Heat Source podcast. A weekly podcast reviewing hot sauce. And it's just like my
tag. We wanted
tag.
To heist the gypsum mines to get exposure through court.
Yes. Like this is the Heat Source.
Your reverse psychology.
Home of the class of the famous gypsum mine.
Gypsum mine heist.
Gypsum mine heist. Move over, Italian job. The gypsum job. No, but that is, man, that is such a good sauce. So, yeah, I think hot dogs, brats, you know, throw it into a dip, any type of Polish food. I would honestly even throw this on like a pierogi. So my dad used the Hot Graham Sauce Company's warm-up sauce and used that with cabbage to make ferment a kraut with that hot sauce.
That'd be good.
It's very, very good. He used it to make a Reuben with some of the other elements of those sauces. This is another one where I don't know if you necessarily would put it with the raw cabbage and let it kind of marinate, but it would be something that you can blend in with that.
Yeah.
Give it that pickliness, give it that, you know, acidity, give it some really good heat. And again, just very surprised that it's not a mild heat. Mm-hmm. Like you said 3, I said 2+ out of 5. It's not a mild heat, but it is surprising with the pepper that was used that there's not more.
Yeah. And that's the only pepper in there.
Cucumber.
Two Beards.
I guess cucumber.
Two Beards needs to know about this sauce.
So I've thought about that too. I'm not going to bring that up on the pod. I have an idea that I'm going to save offline.
A $1 million one that you might actually follow through on.
I'm not going to say $1 million, but let's say like, what's the equivalent of $10,000 idea? Not quite the $100,000 pyramid, but no, I'll talk about that later. But let's get into the score on this. So again, 0 out of 100 on the score. 75 and above is something that we would have in our kitchen year round. 50 and above is recommend to buy. 25 to 50 is, you know, it's fine, but it's not something that you need to like proactively seek out. It's not one that's like as highly recommended. And 25 and below is not for us, maybe for you. Don't even look at the below 50 on this one. I have this as an 80.
I had 90.
Yeah.
I really like this one.
It's really, really good.
This one's got just the pickly tang that like hits right with me. Mm-hmm. Kind of like childhood nostalgia taste.
Yeah. I think
I'm going to take this one from you.
That's fine.
We can split it.
That's fine. I'm going to crack open another one for the Sunday video. So if I can breathe. So yeah, but no, this is a really good one. I think his pickle focus is something that's going to, if you have, you know, someone that's brought up in Polish cuisine, so they're used to some of that pickly acidity food, it's going to hit right with them regardless. This was the number one I wanted to try, but I also was looking very closely at the cranberry mustard red chili one. It's more for Thanksgiving, but he said he puts it on everything. That might be the one that I crack open this Sunday.
That one looks good.
So, and again, it's a pickleips.com is the website, and that's a pickle, P-I-C-K-L-E, lips, L-Y-P-S-E. So again, that is the website, Santa Fe, New Mexico Sauce. He will be at the Fiery Food Show. March 1st through the 3rd is the Fiery Food Show at the Sandia Resort and Casino. I will be there with my parents. Well, I'll be there with my parents on Saturday, but they're gonna joyride for the days around that meat of the day.
I can picture you standing outside just an empty expo, just kind of waiting for your parents to come pick you up.
So here's the thing. Here's what I told my parents about that, because they're just like, well, you know, you can Uber get a ride. I said, well, here's the thing. I said, I'm going to be there start to finish. When they open the doors, I'm going in.
Yeah.
When they close the doors, the only reason that I would leave is if there's not a food option to get. But if I can get a beef jerky stick, I'm golden.
Sure.
But it's going to be 3 days of me just kind of sitting there the whole thing. So I'm actually glad that they're going and doing things, because I feel like my dad and I went to Boston 2 years ago. And it was a great time. It was 2 days only. The first day we went through every booth and then went through the booths again. And then the second day we went through the booths probably two or three times. Mm-hmm. My dad at least then found the people to talk to that he had gotten a rapport with or whatever. This is 3 days, huge event. I just feel like anybody that I brought, other than if you and I were going together, anyone else that I brought would be like, we're still watching. It's kind of like somebody that's watched a basketball game and then rewatches it on replay.
Yeah.
Because you're such a fan or you just want to rewatch it. It's like, didn't we already do this? It's like, I'd be going to the booths multiple times, you know, whether it be talking to them, trying sauce, you know, we did that in Illinois. We had to, you know, we had to break it up into 2 days. We got through half the booths in one day. We couldn't get through all of them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I got to strategize how I'm going to do this, but it is going to be funny where they're going to be dropping me off in the morning like I'm going to school. I'm like, have a good day, sweetie. Try to make a friend.
Yeah.
And then...
Matt's parents, if you're listening, please lay it on thick when you drop him off and pick him up.
Oh, yeah. They're going to get me a little chalkboard. I'm going to hold it. First day of Fiery Food Show. Yeah. Like, you know, what sauce do I want to try? What heat talents do I have?
Yeah.
How's my stomach feeling?
Just like honk the horn and out the hand window wave when you like leave him.
Yeah,
in front of all of his friends.
Yeah. Roddy and Sam are just like, hey, loser. It's like, shut up. God, I hope they don't listen to this. Anyway, yeah, I'm really excited about it. It'll be very interesting to kind of see everybody, to kind of get into that. I'm assuming I'll get overwhelmed for sure, which is also good why it's 3 days. I'm going to wear that classic Heat Source t-shirt that I made for the Illinois show. But it should be good. It should be a great event. And yeah, if you're in the area for the Fiery Food Show in a couple weeks, just look out for Matt from the Heat Source. Let's see if you can identify me, because I no longer am completely devoid of all.
You're in disguise now.
I am in disguise. So I don't know what I'm going for. Someone pointed out that I look very similar. If I had started get the chin long enough to braid, that I might be looking like Jack Sparrow, and now I can't unsee it. So we'll see how long this goes. Definitely could be a pirate for Halloween. Just throw one of those bandanas with the hair built in. That'll be good.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, so definitely we'll want to check that out. I did want to do a couple special thank yous, obviously, to Summit 6 Design for any graphic or logo design needs. They designed our logo. Special thank you to Apocalypse. David reached out to us, asked us to try the sauce. I know he was, you know, excited for us to do the episode, but I also just appreciate him reaching out and, you know, wanting us to try it, wanting us to help promote it. It's just really fun to, I mean, I love trying all the sauce. There's big brands that I'd love to try. We have some hot ones, sauces that I'm very curious to try, but it is always fun to try these newer brands that have only been a couple years old and really kind of see the early beginnings of, I mean, Hook and Arrow hit the ground running, but I was at the Boston show, their first big show, and got to try that sauce and was like, wow, this is incredible. And then I was like, oh, I guess I was right, because it won awards.
Mm-hmm.
Like being there to see it. So, you know, same thing with Sam on Hot Ones. Seeing Sam sauce on Hot Ones after, I mean, we didn't catch him right when he started, but it was like we saw him early on, tried his sauce. We're like, this stuff's amazing. Why isn't it on Hot Ones? And then seeing it there. So just really cool experiences for both. But yeah, so special thank you to Pickle Lips. And I'm trying to think if there's any other special thank yous this week. We're actually a week ahead on this, so I don't have any yet.
Thanks for jinxing it.
Yeah. Thank you again for listening.
You hit the record button, right?
Oh, God. Thank you for listening. However you listen, we do appreciate you. Follow us on Instagram at The Heat Source Podcast for all updates. Send us a message on there or email us at theheatsourcepod@gmail.com for any feedback, requests, or any other comments. And tune again next week when I'm assuming we'll try a new sauce. I don't know. That's the week that I'll actually be out of the country.
Yeah.
So we'll see if maybe we can figure out a way to theme that up with
have
that
fun.
In mind.
Have fun.
So until then, see you later.
See you.
And today we're trying pickled relish hot sauce from Apocalypse. Nope, that's not what it's called.
Apocalypse.
It's also called Ooga Booga.
You should leave that in. Nope, that's not what it's called.
I'll put it on the end. That's the end cap right there. That's perfect.